セガサターンしろ。
Welcome. Oh crap! Forgot my hat. Welcome everyone to the the Interverse. We are within the internet itself, finding good deals. And Emerald is really red. I don't know what happened. He's blushing. He's blushing.
He's messing his monitors.
I'm coming in through dial-up or something. I don't know what's going on here.
He's having some issues with his thing. You know. You know what they say though. You know. You say you're a gold, and then you do this.
Mm-hmm.
But,
nice.
Yeah, they say this guy's a fool. This guy's so cool, snapping his fingers like a fool. Oh god, I'm green. That was the wrong one. But welcome to the Shiro Show. This is your hostess. Okay, that's fine. That's why I was doing color correction.
Lawnmower man.
Lawnmower man, lawnmower man, lawn mowing the lawns all day.
We got Paul Bort in the folks who are in the YouTube chat.
Why are you
Paul
so
Bort.
Blushing so much?
Dragons
why
of
you're
Saturn.
So green.
What's up?
Why are you so red?
David I don't know.
David Zaney, Neil Henderson, myself, Brian Trusty, Rab Mac. Hey, it's Rab Mac. Haven't seen him in a while. How's it going, man? Cerulean.
Are you finally? Oh, you're coming out. You're coming out of your cage, and you're feeling just fine. He's Mr. Brightside.
Would it help if the room was brighter?
It would help, maybe.
It would. Well, then you just go back to looking washed out.
Oh my God! Stop messing with it, please. Stop.
Okay, you told me. You told me it would help. It would. Okay, I'm
it's not
stop. Stop. Quit while you're ahead, though, because you get all it. Right. And then you. Okay. We also have Pudgy Bunny. Hey, Pudgy. Where's Dan, by the way?
Yeah, where'd Dan go?
Oh, he's right there.
He's in chat.
Okay, he's in chat. Good.
Yeah.
Eric's up.
Busy.
Greg Stewart. Trevo, how's it going?
Yo, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Are we just shouting everyone out because the website's down? We don't really have a show.
Let's
do the update. News update. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Our website's fucking down.
On Black Friday.
Yeah, we literally had deals. I'm not joking. I was going to surprise, hey guys, usually this show we shout out Black Friday deals, but now we can shout our own deals because we have Black Friday deals today. All the deals. We have some amazing deals for you all. Where did I get that? My friend Moose Track made it. Is he in the chat, Moose Track?
Not in the YouTube chat.
All right, Moose Track made it for me.
Unless he goes by another name.
Snazzy hat, I like it. I look like I'm fishing on the Mississippi. All that Black Friday. Literally, yeah, host the sale, they said. It'll be great, they said. Literally, we got some killer deals. Not only do we got the magazine deal, we'll talk about that. We have a magazine deal. But we also have new shirts, brand new shirts, and we have some cool announcements for Netlinkers. Is that what we're calling them? I think we're going to rename them today, but we got some good deals going on, so I'm super excited. How are y'all doing? How's y'all's, while we're waiting for the site to get back up so we can continue this roadshow, how are y'all's... It's coming back up by the grace of God. We're going to pray to the robot gods, pray to the Omnissiah. The Omnissiah, the great Omnissiah, the great emperor of mankind. Let the site come back up. Let my people go. But how was your guys' Thanksgivings? We'll start with Dave, I guess. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. We just did I did the Friendsgiving thing last week. So this week was just a small menu. But short menu, but it was a good one. And I just had a turkey sandwich today, which is my favorite part is the leftovers. Cleaned up the garage, organized the magazines. We've sold 14 B stocks so far since last night. Yeah. But we've got close to 100. I think we got 100, and then we've got 9 of the A stock left. So it's when those are gone, they're gone. Playing some Genesis.
Little Genesis.
And, that's me. What about you?
For me, it's been a crazy Thanksgiving. I went over to my family's and then went to my friends. We slept over, had a couple of drinks, partied a little bit. Mm-hmm. We watched the greatest Christmas movie of all time, the one that I actually have officially...
Die Hard?
No, better, Batman Returns.
Oh, okay. That's close, but you know what? I disagree. I still think it's Die Hard.
Nah, man. I mean, it's one of them. Like, I'm counting Batman Returns as the new one because it's Christmas themed, and as Danny DeVito,
This is true. This is true. Do you ever play the what's your favorite version of Batman Returns, like console game?
I never played it.
You never played it?
Nope. Oh,
my brother and I used to
have a favorite version of that.
Yeah, it's all pretty bad.
No. The SNES version is an awesome beat 'em up. It's totally like Streets of Rage style, you know, slamming clowns into windows, and the punches land like kind of like Mortal Kombat, like they have like a real weight to them. I think the SNES version is the way to go. Although the Sega CD version where you're driving, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, Sega CD. How about you? Sega CD's nuts. Got him. Yeah,
Sega CD. It's tough because they're both two different genres. So, but yeah.
Genres.
I think Shadow. By the way, I think Shadow Mask mentioned that his Twitch. I don't know if streaming VHS on Twitch finally caught up to him. So I think he's gonna do it in our Discord server.
Oh, that works.
It's actually a really funny story, if I could just recap what happened. So whenever the recent Friday the 13th was last month, on presumably Friday the 13th, we were watching Friday the 13th, and there is, like, the smallest amount of nudity in that movie, right?
Oh, okay. All right.
So after years and years of doing this VHS, well, not years, but, like, at least a year of doing this VHS crap, like, every week, he finally gets caught on a DMCA, but it's right after, like a few minutes after the one scene, the topless scene, which is like just a flash. And so he gets taken out. The stream goes dead in the middle of it. He goes over to Kick and then restarts the stream where we left off. So we can at least finish the movie and there's like no rules. It's like the Wild West. And guess who the number one streamer on the front page of Kick is at the time that we restart the stream?
Him.
No,
someone famous. It's Amaranth doing freaking exercises with 2-pound weights while streaming Friday the 13th.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. So no rules.
So we're just gonna kick it over to Kick then.
I mean, for something like this, you kind of have to, just because, like, you know, strictly speaking,
yeah,
there is an FBI warning at the beginning of all those tapes.
Yeah.
Well, I invited Shadow Mask to do it in the Shiro, you know, like, just if he wanted to do it here in our Discord and just invite a bunch of people, do like an ad, everybody, hey, anybody want to do movie night or whatever, and we could just host it here, so it's kind of it's more insulated.
That's fair,
you know. unless there's like an FBI like insider.
Yeah, I'm actually part of the FBI.
That's right. We're getting raided.
Raided by Patrick.
I mean, so really, like realistically, like if you invite like 10 friends into your home, mm-hmm. and it's 1990, and you stick a VHS tape into your big screen rear projection TV,
right?
Is that actually like literally to the letter against the law?
Oh, you're screening a film, right? So that's one of those like logistics things. Like technically, it's illegal, but nobody ever. Reinforce, like, technically you need a permit or something to screen a movie publicly, but people do it all the time and nobody ever enforces that stuff, right? But if
to the letter of the law, are you supposed to like drink a Mountain Dew verification can when you have more than one person in the room?
I get that reference, by the way. That's funny.
Screenings in private residence have different rules than public spaces. Yeah, but what if it so for example, Halloween, right? Just recently, we had a house down the street who has like a big front lawn, and they were streaming a movie on the side of their house for the entire neighborhood to see, right? Technically, the screen was the side of their house, and it was contained within their lawn, within their yard, but technically everyone on the street could see it because it was like, you know, 10 feet by 10, or I don't know, like 18 by 18 or something like that. But anyway, so what are the rules on that, you know?
Oh, my God. Can we really not access her website? That's actually kind of frustrating.
That's the worst part is we can't even get into the WordPress, because at least in the WordPress, you can see, like, the stuff
That sucks about, like, WordPress, for example. You can't log into it if you can't get to the site, you know? I recently took my my work website was WordPress-based, and domain.com They suck. So many times, so many problems, I ended up going with Google, just like Google Sites, because at least it's always up. Like, I don't think Google is ever down because they have so much redundancy. So even though I hate to serve the overlords, but it just, you need something that's going to be up. It would be like, we would be like having a big event or something like that, and then the website would go down and clients couldn't access it. So
we can at least advertise our shirt deal stuff.
Yeah,
the shirts are still up, so that's good.
Hey, you know what? People can access. So here's a fun fact. But just by clicking on the Teespring ad underneath this video, I believe folks can access our Teespring shop. Can they not?
They can, maybe.
Until we DDoS it too.
I mean, I don't know if it's a thing where they're on mobile, it may or may not work. But if they're on like a computer, they should be able to see our Teespring listings, and that'll take them to our Teespring shop.
So you mean the Threadless shop, right?
Well, Threadless doesn't integrate into YouTube. So we started a Teespring shop because there's YouTube integration, and people can see our products like right there underneath the video. Okay. So
I'm slightly confused because I'm looking at the video feed and I see the Threadless link in the description, but I don't see an ad for Teespring or anything like that.
You don't see an ad? Okay.
Okay. I might be because I'm a dirty, rotten uBlock Origin user.
Not being dirty, uBlock. But yeah, that's our website, what it looks like right now.
Yep. There's the website in all of its glory. Yeah, I was going to shout.
Infamy.
Yeah. I can remember. I mean, is Dan still in the chat or did he leave? Okay, he took off. I mean, I can remember everything that we needed to talk about. We can just talk about it.
All right, well, why don't we go for our first Black Friday deal, if that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, but so.
What are we talking about? The mags, which they can't access right now?
No, the shirts.
Oh, the shirts. Okay. Right,
so we'll show off these shirts. So we have some cool designs that Dave made up. Like, I had some other designs too that I assisted in, but it's sort of my idea. So the one thing I want to do is I really enjoyed the sort of the midnight club sort of thing, like the underground, like, you know, we're all underground, cool, like, gamers and stuff. And I really wanted to have something cool for the Netlink to sort of display it and advertise it. So. I'm gonna.
That was Kuno. Okay.
Are you good, Kuno?
Yeah, I'm good. Sorry.
All right, no worries. All right, so and we'll show off the shirt now. It is the Shiro Knight shirt. So this is a Kuzuri of white and black and white. It's this cool.
There's also gray. So there's like
there's a couple
the
different
white
colors.
Yeah, the white one is all light colors, so like grays, pinks, stuff like that. I think there's like different colors that you can choose from, depending on what shirt it is. And then the other one is like mostly dark colors. But basically it says Netlink up there in pink, and then it says special over there on the right in Japanese. And then it says Shiro Knight. So it's basically Netlink special or Shiro Knight special. That was Pat's idea, basically.
Yeah, this one, I really thought it was
I thought it was a boss idea.
Yeah, no, it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. And we have like, I'll put the links in the chat so you guys can access them. It should be able to be seen and stuff. Like, you'd be able to click on those, so that works. And we also came up with another design, so this one is more for... Oh, what's going on with the chat thing? Did I mess up the chat window? It looks kind of weird. But,
I think you're hiding it behind the shirt.
Weird. Anyways, so on top of that, we also have another cool shirt that we designed. Well, this is for the Netlink. Specifically, if you join the Netlink team, you can actually buy the shirt. So we're going to put this in the Netlink chat for people to buy. So if you guys are part of the Netlink users, you can actually buy this shirt exclusively. This is sort of more inspired by the Midnight Club shirt design.
Mm-hmm.
I have it right there. It won't let me zoom into the design, which kind of like to get closer, which is kind of weird.
All right. Well, one more knock against Teespring then.
Yeah, I guess I can try to open image in new tab. So yeah, there we go. We can zoom in this way. So a little Shiro Knight Netlink special.
With two L's.
Yeah. two the L's, old, get yeah. the English going on. But yeah, this mm-hmm. is a really cool shirt. I'm going to put this, is going right now, it's going into the chat for the, oh, I can't, I'm doing the, actually, I feel the on Discord to do that.
That's
I'll do
a
that.
Trophy, right?
That shirt's no, that, like that's a... the that's the club shirt.
That's the
basically
club
the,
shirt.
The origin okay. of this shirt design was, so when the night the midnight races, that's their probation shirt. So if you're like, you know, just in the club and you're like a probation member, you can get that, you get that sticker that you slap on it. So, and I don't think you. It's only a shirt. We have the stickers as well, right? Yeah, we have those, the stickers for those.
Yeah, there were
is this
stickers.
Like our version of Supreme?
Yeah, I suppose so.
This was Pat's idea. I just went along with it. I think it's cool. This is for Netlink though, right? That's what this is. It's for people who are like playing Netlink.
Yeah, or... these are guys that's on the Netlink okay. roster. So I can go add that to there. I'll have to pull out the window for Discord real quick. But yeah, like I'll go put in the chat, and those that want to buy can if you're part of the Netlink team. I'm considering maybe we do like a one day thing where we sell it, but it's good. No, I don't want to add Craig.
We were at 42. We've dropped to 32 watchers.
Yeah, it's kind of a
Come
messy
on,
show.
Folks, share it. Keep it alive.
Shit out. But yeah, we have some cool, like I said, we have the cool shirts, and then I'm gonna put this in the Discord real quick. So if you guys want to talk a little bit, while I just put the link for the Netlink dudes. I'm just trying to find where the why is it not showing? There she was up there. I'll go do that real quick.
I mean, yeah, there's actually a few news items that we can talk about for sure. Do we want to get into that?
Sure.
I mean, like, first of all, I can't really show people this, but I wanted to shout Saturn Memories, longtime YouTuber and Saturn gameplay reference. You know, it's the standby Saturn gameplay reference channel on YouTube. I'm sure everybody who's ever searched Sega Saturn on YouTube has come up with a Saturn Memories video. He's been putting up great content for years. And at the same time, he's been archiving and collecting links a lot. And it's been a multi-year project that's kind of like stretched and still going. And it was housed over on Retro Game Boards, but recently he reached out to Shiro and said, hey, you know, would be interested in mirroring this on the Shiro site. As a part of the communities tab. So now under the community tab on SegaSaturnShiro.com, when you can actually access the site, when and if, you, and I'm just testing it right now and it looks like it's still down. So yeah, that sucks. But when you do go onto our website successfully under the community tab, you will now see Sega Saturn resources or resource directory. And this is this aims to be a comprehensive directory of all things Saturn, development tools, development histories, stories, websites, fan sites, official sites, you name it, like any links, dead links, internet archive crawls. It's incredibly comprehensive, box scans. And I think that the sky's the limit. Like the plan, his plan is just to keep plugging away at it and adding to it and refining it. So that's a huge... that's a huge undertaking, and just really, really honored to have him come aboard and manage that page on our site. Private Eye is in charge of managing our translations and homebrew, or what is it, translations and patches, hacks. We've got Joe, Sega RPG fan, managing the online play page. So you guys want to get your Saturns online, Joe's your guy. And I mean, really, he's the one who's made it possible. And then we've also got Death Scythe, I think, managing the compendium of Saturn in film and TV and stuff like that. So there's a comprehensive listing of Saturn in film and pop culture and stuff like that. So shouts to the community for, helping to power our site and helping to provide like a lot of great content.
Yep, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And shouts to Saturn Memories, definitely, for just being...
keeping the Saturn Memories alive.
One of those individuals who has really pushed Saturn forward and made it prominent in the public eye, definitely, through, you know, the YouTube stuff. He's very humble, doesn't want a lot of credit, but I think that credit is due. And then I what was the other thing we were going to talk about? Emerald just posted up. Really nice post that we can't read right
can't really
now,
show. Yeah,
we could put him on the spot and have him recite the whole thing from memory.
I mean, I probably could do a decent job of it. So I finally, after months of needling from, I think Danthrax might have been trying to get me to do it, and I just didn't have the time to or energy to focus on it. But I finally wrote out like an actual article detailing the competition. Mm-hmm. So the 29th annual, the 29th anniversary of the Sega Saturn and the Sega Saturn 29th anniversary game competition, where we have hosted on my website and on Sega Extreme. Let me see if I can't post the link in chat. So that's essentially every year for the last 5 years. I've been running this competition here on my website and on Sega Extreme with cash prizes and physical prizes for Saturn homebrew development. Mm-hmm. So it's heavily emphasized on original games, but there's a lot of hacks, patches, and translations, and that's usually the stuff that gets more press because people are more interested in seeing the Japanese library finally make it over. And last couple of years, we added the utilities category. So that's like tools and stuff that people have been building. And so kind of like one of the things that are of note for this year is the list of sponsors. So every year the judges, the Supreme Court of Saturn, the judges got kind of like shuffled up a little bit. Some people leave, some people come back on. You can go to the website to kind of go through the list of judges. I don't want to go through and exhaust them right now. I do want to talk about the sponsors because I think I finally have, a finalized list of sponsors. So obviously, as always, there is the cash prize pool. And I take donations. It's donation run pool through PayPal. The donate link is on my website. It's also in the article once that comes out. Millennium Shane from That's It Guys provides 3D prints for ranking prize winners. Knight of Dragon is providing a Saturn serial cable. And you brought up Sega RPG Fan, and that's relevant because this serial to USB cable for the Saturn is designed to interface with the NetLink OS and the NetBand Tunneler program that Sega RPG Fan contributed to. So it's effectively a way to get pseudo broadband, like moderate DSL kind of speeds. I think the maximum that we've clocked any of these experiments at was like 200 to 300 kilobytes per second, or kilobits per second, compared to like the default 14.4 that most games are designed to run on.
Right.
So for right now, thanks to last year's competition, there's some patches out for NetLink enabled games to be able to take advantage of the tunneling program and the serial cables. And anyone that contributes to the competition, submits an entry, will be entitled to ask for one of these devices that Knight of Dragon is manufacturing if you just pay for the shipping. The big prizes that I think are super impressive and would be great if we had an article with pictures and text and stuff to go off of.
It exists.
It exists. It's out there somewhere on a server. Not available to anyone outside of that server room. The top prize for hacks, patches, and translations will be getting a fighting stick from Harman Customs.
Oh, wow.
So Malenko managed to organize this. I believe Chrono Lee was involved. He was just in the live stream chat, and now he's gone. So Harman Customs makes these customized arcade cabinets and controllers and stuff like that. So he has an arcade-style fighting stick set up, and Malenko kind of provided the board for that so that the winner of the hacks, patches, and translations, basically the best translation or relevant patch entry, will get that stick. So basically, you get your own customized Saturn fighting stick in white or black. Yeah, it's a really nice setup. I think the like market value, if you wanted to like call it that, is probably somewhere close to the neighborhood of 150 to 200 or something like that.
That's a big one. And they can have that designed by themselves. Like, how they really want to design it? That have designed?
I mean, the thing's already designed because it's like a box with buttons on. So it's like a 6-button controller type. Right? Yeah, with an arcade stick. So really, you're choosing between the white or black, but it is a very nice control stick. And so like last year, I like to emphasize that because of big donations, we got a massive prize pool. This year, the prize pool is probably going to be less, but we're making up for it with all these sponsorships.
Hey, that works.
The sponsorships are like a, probably a stronger long-term strategy for keeping this competition going. And as of this year, This is the fifth year I'm doing this competition. I think I've beat out Rockin' B's record of 4 years. So
nice.
Maybe we can, maybe and I have can, no plans of stopping.
Maybe we can, maybe for our special announcement, Dave, maybe we could donate one of those for it.
I would love to. I was actually just going to ask you that. Like, what are the chances of Shiro sponsoring this? I don't know if you need another prize, but yeah.
I think at this point, because there's only a month and a half left in the competition, I need to stop taking sponsors and start planning for next year. I need to get to work on my entry. I'm supposed to be submitting a new build of Forsaken Plane, and I need to do a lot more work on it before I can show anyone anything.
Well, we can be a pseudo sponsor, and we can maybe share out to our next thing that we're going to announce. Did you want me to go for that?
We are judges too.
Well, there is one more sponsor or two more sponsors I want to point out for the competition. So we have five different sponsors. I already talked about Knight of Dragons serial cables. I talked about That's It Guys 3D Prints. Harriman Custom is making the fighter control stick for the top Hacks Patch and Translation winner. The top original games winner prize will be a Fenrir Duo provided by Sid.
Very nice.
And it will be installed by Krista Lee, who is one of the judges.
Oh, very nice.
From Sound Retro Co. And so she's like a professional repair modder type person.
Right.
I send her lots of work. I just she's in the middle of fixing up my game gear with a full replacement, new board and everything. So she will be installing the Fenrir Duo, adding an FRAM save mod and doing a recap. Of the Saturn. You have to provide the Saturn, of course.
Sure.
But she will be tuning it up to make it basically run like new, no batteries required to keep your saves. And of course, the Fenrir Duo will serve as the ODE.
Which is kind of the ODE of choice for developers, right?
For a minute it was Satiator because it was there and a lot of us got it when it came out. And it still functions exactly as it should. I believe the Fenrir Duo, I don't know anything about the compatibility of the Fenrir, if it's better or worse than the Satiator. I know the Satiator has like one or two outstanding games, I think, still. I haven't checked up on it recently.
Is the Wi-Fi working yet, where you can like send builds?
Yeah. So I don't know anything about the Wi-Fi on the Fenrir. If it does indeed have Wi-Fi and people figure out how to get that to work well,
See that on the ESP32, like on that system on the chip, it has it. It's just maybe dormant, like it's maybe not been turned on yet.
Yeah, no, it's ready to go.
The idea would be to just like build on your PC and just send each build to the thing.
Dan's saying it's not enabled yet, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay.
Happens.
Emerald just froze.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, no.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Okay. I don't know anything about the Wi-Fi. I don't want to make any promises, but whatever the Fenrir Duo can do, that is what you're getting. You're getting.
I'll make some promises that I can't keep. I'm down.
Yeah, yeah.
Make some promises.
Yeah. So the prize pool, the physical prizes, are much more impressive this year. And it required a little bit more finagling on my part to talk to people and try to get this organized and figure out how we're going to handle shipping, logistics, stuff like that. Mm. I am planning on trying to get things to be slightly better next year. I don't know how much bigger I can go because this is already way bigger than I ever planned on this happening. This originally was supposed to be a game jam. And well, once the website's back up, which is still
hella down right now.
Next year's going to be 30th anniversary. For 30 years, you gotta go big.
Yeah, I still have to figure out how I'm going to do that because like this year's sponsorships are already huge.
You get Shiro.
Huger. Yeah.
We'll help. We'll figure it out. We'll make it happen.
We'll get some good ass prizes.
So if we could get like Retro RGB or someone to pull some strings, maybe get HD Retrovision to help out or something like
that. You
never know. I'm sure there's...
You never know. Yeah.
There might be room for that. But my personal plans for the 30th anniversary is that I'm finally going to get a vertical slice of Scenario working and out there for people to see my vision for that game. But that's my personal goal. That's my entry. That has nothing to do with the competition as a whole.
Right.
So, I'm kind of, I have to play both sides of this. So like one, I'm organizing the competition. So I want the competition to promote Saturn homebrew in a universal sense, get a lot of new people in. And I think it's done that. I think we wouldn't see games like stuff out of Herbalsoft or stuff from Seven Shades or something like that if the competition didn't prompt them to like submit stuff and get it popularized. So I feel happy that that's happened. But also, I want to be able to share the games that I want to make. So I need to spend more time making my games too. So that's kind of part of it.
I wish that this is probably going to sound ridiculous, but I kind of wish that like
you folks were a fish? Like
yeah, no, how did you read my mind? No, I wish that folks like XL2 and Seven Shades, I mean, could come together on some kind of book, maybe not a physical book, but like an online, like a guide or like a tutorial on this is how you develop.
This is how we do it.
This is like the trenches. This is like boot camp.
Yeah, exactly. Like a C+ principles of Saturn programming.
You know what I mean?
So something like that. XL2 is basically retired. Seven Shades is a college student, I think, still. So I think whatever work he's doing is more than enough. What I'm trying to do, and I'm kind of like prematurely announcing this, is I'm kind of getting my Patreon set up together. I'm eventually going to launch a Patreon probably after this competition mm-hmm. is concluded. And part of that Patreon is to start providing services of breaking down how code works and good ways of getting stuff working quickly on the Saturn, code examples, mini engine, stuff like that.
Like best practices,
common
problems, all the kind of stuff that gets asked in the forums like multiple times by new users, you know what I mean? So, that kind of stuff.
So the way that normally happens is it's buried in one of my streams from years ago where I'm doing something dumb and I bang my head against the wall for 4 hours and it works.
Right.
And then I say, hey, I solved this problem sometime around here. If you have time to just listen to it in the background, you'll probably find it there. I am hoping to try to organize some resources on my Patreon to try to help people more directly get stuff like that working properly, and then incrementally release that out into the wild as better versions of those codes come out. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, version 2 on the Patreon, version 1.5 out on the website or something like that, just to help people get started.
Mm.
And then eventually when I'm ready to actually launch the Patreon, I will make a more official announcement.
All right.
Oh, and for anyone who had any doubts, we at Shiro love Sega Extreme, and we...
I don't. I hate it.
No, Pat. No.
Is that drama still happening?
I just want to take every chance I can get to make sure that anybody listening knows that we love Sega Extreme. They're like a sister site to us. We want them to continue to be successful and do wonderful things and be great. And if we have any way of shouting that out and boosting their signal, we will, you know. So if there's any doubt, you know, we absolutely love Sega Extreme. So
yeah, and I just kind of want to direct to everyone in general, like if you're looking for resources for either development or seeing where people are releasing homebrew games or patches, the resources section on Sega Extreme has become like a central hub for hosting all that kind of stuff.
Very much so.
I still can't believe like that we have to bring that up because like I remember a muckraker from several months ago trying to.
It wasn't several months. It was like recent. It was like fairly recent. Oh, yeah, and it was like.
Are you talking about the pandemonium comments?
Oh, what was it, Pat? Somebody basically saying that. Oh, they were saying that the Seven Shades interview that we did at PRGE.
We didn't stretch them out. Yeah.
That we didn't mention Sega Extreme. He didn't mention Sega Extreme because
but Seven Shades is one of those dark horse developers that like comes out of nowhere and makes something impressive and semi-complete and playable like Matsuzaka or something like that,
right?
Where it's like Sega Extreme can't like exclusively claim Seven Shades because like he was so quiet during his development. He didn't like he doesn't live on the Discord like I do.
He has like a user profile aside from one to post that one post, right? But it basically
he sends updates our way towards Sega Extreme. So we see him in the Discord before anyone else.
You do, yes.
Like, cuz we see incremental stuff, but he's very competent.
I mean, to be fair, it was our bad if we didn't mention it, but I actually do think that we did mention it during that video. We did at least mention once that yes, we said the game competition. The problem is
game competition, yeah.
Right. We said that, and that's a big problem for me is I always just assume that everybody knows what the hell I'm talking about, but I can't. I can't just assume that. Like there's a lot of newcomers, they may be like what are you talking about? So yeah, every year Sega Extreme hosts and Emerald organizes this whole thing. Saturn anniversary game competition. In this case, it's going to be the 29th. Next year, we're looking forward to the 30th anniversary of the Sega Saturn console being a thing. And that the game competition is to honor that. So, yeah, no, I mean, and it all started with you trying to put, just infuse a little bit of life, right, into the Saturn homebrew scene.
So it was like, it was my first year at homebrew. I was like, XL2 and Ponut had taken me in from the Joe Engine forums because I was like baby homebrewer.
Right.
Ran around, like, I was still in grad school. So, like, I was doing this between writing papers and stuff like that. And I was like, hey, this Rockin' B guy used to do these game competitions. Anyone want to do a game jam? Because I had gotten pretty good at getting fast results.
Mm-hmm,
I was like, hey, these guys know more than me. They should be able to turn out something in a weekend. Mm-hmm. Turns out that's kind of a skill set almost unique to me, where I can just crap out games when I really have the time to do it. And other people tend to take more time and stick to one game, where I just do several tiny games of varying quality.
Hey, how's it going, Sasquatch? How's it going, Suggester? How's it going, Jess? We give some shouts out real quick on the chat.
Of course, guys. We want to get that engagement. So the point there being was, one weekend was definitely, I was going to be the only one that ever even tried to do anything for that. So then it turned into, hey, let's do like a month or so. And then XL2 was like, okay, maybe. And then after a month, it was like, okay, let's just give up. Let's just do this for New Year. And it turned into 4 months. Mm. And that's just been the format since. And then we got the Supreme Court of Saturn together. We started putting together cash prizes. And this competition just grew from there. And I think the article, when the website comes up, does a better job of displaying the timeline and the continuity of community that Sega Extreme has. And I just want to keep like reinforcing the idea that Sega Extreme has like I think it's like a 20 some, maybe like it's close to as old as the Saturn is in terms of community online.
It's pretty old.
There's a sense of continuity there. You have members from those old 20-year-old competitions that are still in the Sega Extreme forums and Discord.
Right. That's crazy. Would you say that who's an example of one of those folks that were in the original Rock and B stuff?
So like VBT is the one
VBT.
VBT, we call him the Portmaster.
Yeah.
So he's a Frenchman. I have no idea how old he is because he's been around forever. I assume that he was much older than me, apparently not. But like back in the early 2000s, he was putting out like games and ports and stuff like that, and he's still putting out games and ports.
Right.
For every year in the competition, like last year, he had a couple entries: Wolf 3D port, the Master System emulator for the Saturn, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is surprisingly functional considering the power behind it. And of course, all those neat little tech demos that we all love him for, the ones involving Garfield and other cats.
Garfield, yeah. So that's cool.
So awesome. there's a continuity, and my website tries to put together like a little bit of a family tree of people that have been in and out of the Saturn or the Sega Extreme community. So I encourage people, if you really want to like poke around out of curiosity just to see what's up with the Sega Extreme community, go to the Sega Extreme forums. Those forum records go back all the way 20 plus years, and you can see what other people posted, or just go to my website and start poking through the community tab. Where the competitions are hosted, but they also host a lot of entries for the games that were submitted for the competitions and mm-hmm. for the people that were in and out of the community. And you can kind of see how some of them interface.
So right. Who was the last sponsor? You had two other ones. You said, I think you covered one.
Yeah. So Sound Retro Co. And Fenrir. So Fenrir is supplying the Fenrir Duo. And then Sound Retro Co. is doing the install along with the tune-up.
Okay, that's what I just want to make sure. And those are the additional sponsors. Okay, I just want to make
sure. Those are the additional
sponsors.
Yeah.
And that's the top prize for the original games category. So like the history of the original games category, I think, is like the last few winners have been... I forgot who it was last year. I that's terrible.
It was Matsuzaka. It was...
Franz Matsuzaka with the witch game, right?
Bridget Bishop.
Yeah.
And then it was, XL2 with... Ireal?
Unreal.
Ireal?
Yeah.
And then after that, it was...
I think it might have been Slide Hop or it might have been CubeCat. I forget.
Yeah, I forget too.
Yeah,
but I mean, this year you've got Cold Case, you've got
Slide Hop.
Slide Hop. We haven't seen everything, I think, because some people are like going to still just kind of stuff, silently work.
Most of the stuff is supposed to come in around Christmas time or thereabouts.
Right,
that's usually how it goes. I'm surprised there's already 12 entries.
I try not to even look because then it's like,
you don't want to bias yourself, right?
Not even to mention like the patches this year is going to be ridiculous. How am I supposed to? I was telling Dan, I was like, I have to discipline myself not to vote based on the prominence of the game, like the high profile nature of the game. Because
that's the reason what we did last year with Soccer Wars and the demo.
Yeah.
Because if that was the full game, that would have been my full vote. And the same thing with the Stellar Assault. And that's the reason why they didn't score that high on the translation one, is because it wasn't just done yet. Yeah. So I didn't want to.
And like I said, this year. Yeah.
Oh man!
This year we're gonna have so many finished, you know, so many translations. I think Knight may be done with Valkenrotor. I don't know. I don't wanna.
I will speak for him, and we will put him on the spot and force him to finish
it. I think that's the idea, is to try to get it.
Knight of Dragon is attached to so many efforts.
Sure.
That like it's very easy for him to get burnt out or not make progress on one thing because
of course.
He's like a point of contact for doing any of these ports.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's like a long-term residential expert. Like he's the guy that did Shining Force 3. Like he's like one of the main organizers. He's been around forever.
And I mean, he's the guy who gave us SRP or not SRP, sorry, Sega Saturn patch, SSP.
Yeah, SSP. I was thinking of
the Saturn region patch. SRP, but
so Power Company shouts out.
Yeah. If you go look up on my YouTube channel, on the Emerald Nova YouTube channel, you look up the Sega Saturn patching tutorial.
Right.
Compare the way that we used to do things to the way that we do things now.
Oh, God, I don't want to. It's ridiculous.
I have like 3 hours of patches, and some of them are like the Dragon Force patch, where it's like, okay, let's open up the CD, let's do some swap files, let's check the versioning. Okay, let's put this back together and let's test in the emulator, and then we can try to think about burning it. Or we can go to a more modern patch like Grandia. And click on the SSP and click build and done. And it's kind of funny how different.
And if it's if it's one of those scenarios where you're like, where it's like, oh, you need it broken out into separate bins. Oh, well, you could even just do that. You can put in an image and just break it out into separate bins, rebuild it. Yeah, I needed to capture some footage. At my work. I was using what is it, the SSF, right? And I was using Slysoft clone virtual drive, and it wants CCD files, but all I had were like bin queues. Well, Knight's got you covered because his tool will rebuild it in CCD if you need to. I think Pat had to do that with his Phoebe.
Why I asked him. I was like, I need to, when I got the Satiator, all my Raya images were all CCD image subs, and I need to convert them all over to bin queue. So.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
Like if you need CCD, you can take bin queue.
Because I think it started as a small thing that he made. He was like, oh yeah, here's a program to do that for you, Pat. And I guess he incorporated that. Yeah, he
incorporated into it. So it's great. It's excellent. I mean,
I just want to say that kind of builds into the sense of community. And I want to like try to communicate to people that I don't think I got a good enough job of, is that the Saturn Renaissance that's been happening in this decade, I want to say, at this point, because I say it started in 2020, but like really it's been ongoing.
Right.
So just so much new content that's coming out. The new ODEs have spurred a lot more creators into the space, and the tools are becoming easier and easier and easier to use.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like when I was you did the first competition, what, the 26th annual, I want to say, and not annual 26th anniversary. I think at that point it wasn't really like branded that much. It was just like the Sega Extreme Game Competition. And I was burning everything to CDRs like a peasant, you know, like I was still at that point. It feels like a long time ago, but yeah, like and Pat was like the only one in Shiro with an ODE. He had the, well, he and Kay both had the Phoebe.
Yeah.
But yeah, so those were early days. And then, of course, like we just had like a, like manna from heaven. You had ODEs falling out of the sky.
Yeah. There's so many. Like nowadays, it was like a mad dash to get all of them. Like, remember how Toxic was trying, oh, you had to hunt them all down, be able to get them, or like wait like at 3 o'clock in the morning.
So I was backing the Satiator for like a year and a half, trying to get the help along with the development. So I still have my prototype unit for that. And that's basically my daily driver for the Saturn.
Right.
I was doing that under the assumption that Professor Abrasive was the only one that's actually published his work. Like published, I mean, like he's got a forum post saying, hey, here's how I'm doing it. Here's like the mechanics of why this is working the way it is. And I'm actually trying to work on doing this.
Right.
And besides him and the GDMU guy, I think Deonin, those were the only two sources, and it's impossible to buy anything from Daonin. So, like, until the Satiator came out, the ODE options were not fantastic.
Right.
And then as soon as the public beta for the Satiator opened up and, like, people started getting their hardware, all of a sudden, hey, I'm Sed, I'm working on something over here. And then Terra Onion starts, hey, look at this. This is a mode. It does, like, five different consoles.
Right.
Same freaking year.
Yeah, same freaking, yeah. And I mean, the same thing kind of happened with Magazine Scene. You know, it was like, I mean, not completely related to Saturn, but with Sega, you know, you had, like, what was it?
Sega Power.
Sega Power, Magazine. And you had Sega Mania.
Yeah, Mania,
you
that's had it.
Us doing a mag. There was, like, it seems like a lot of people are, like, work on these things, whether, you know, work on these different kind of scene and fan projects kind of, like, behind the scene. And then when somebody finally drops something, then the others are like, oh, we got to make
it. Yeah, we got to get out the door. Yeah, you know, strike without exactly. One. Yeah.
By the way, I wanted to mention, we have a guest in the chat. James, the Sega holic from the Sega guys.
Oh, he's not supposed to be here. Chat. Let me go remove him from the chat.
We gotta kick him from. No, I'm
sorry about that.
He's got his mic muted, but he's more than welcome to join the conversation if he wants. Yeah.
He's also one of the judges on UK. This competition.
Yeah, so we can talk about
that's
it.
Right.
Yeah.
He's repping the UK. I love to get that UK perspective since there's so many Saturn fans in the UK. Well, I don't know about so many, but there's definitely a fandom in the UK for Sega.
Somebody sent a catalog of homebrews. Don't we already have that, or is that just translations?
Yeah. So I wanted to address that. So Sensigolo is one of the people that I'd say would contribute to the community. He's put out a handful of visual novel style games, and also shared the code as part of Joe Engine building your own visual novel kind of setup. Mm-hmm. If you want to go that route. So every year he puts out updates and new visual novel type stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really fun when you get Film Cow to voice act some of his visual novels, actually, if you get to see them on Video Game Valley when he does his judging for the competition entries.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, to answer Sensigolo's question, yes, the resources page on Sega Extreme, that is my first resource for finding patches that came out in the last several years and new homebrew. I post all my new homebrew there. I used to self-host. Mm-hmm. I still kind of do, but really, anytime I make a new thing for ease of use, I put it on Sega Extreme and link it to it on my website.
Nice. Where were we?
the crippling addiction to Sega Hall and how this is an intervention.
Yeah, Sega Hall, if you want to talk, you can. There's one announcement, I guess, while we're waiting for me to get the mic up.
Unless he stepped, maybe he's making a sandwich or something. I don't know. Maybe he stepped away.
I did want to announced that for the competition, we actually have one additional shirt that we have not showed off yet. This is a exclusive design that is supposed to be only for the this is going to be for the people that win tournaments for a Netlink. Is a silver edition of the Shiro Knight shirt.
So for folks who don't know this, so this is based on that racing club in Japan Midnight. Okay, so, like, I guess, and it's got the funky spelling of special, just like the Midnight Club. Yes. So this would be what, the trophy, I guess?
Yeah, this is the new trophy for game competitions that we do. So if you win an online tournament, you can get a shirt. I'm going to give myself a shirt of that because I'm a winner in my heart, even though I'm in losers for the other thing. I'll get one just to show it off, so. Oh, there's a stunned silence for that.
Well, we were stepping on each other's toes. I was going to answer a question. Danthrax says we have a tab for translation patches. We do have a homebrew page. It's just not completely built out yet because that's on me. Yeah. I don't have anybody to manage it.
Yeah, we know that's the joke of the shirt.
It was me. So there's a bunch of content on there, which is basically copy pasted from all of the competition articles that I've written over the years. But I kind of need to organize everything and get a bunch of images and stuff like that. So it's a work in progress. But yeah, there is a directory of homebrew on the Shiro site as well, which is not loading right now, so it's pointless.
Yeah.
Just go to Emerald Nova Games.
Yeah, Dan, let me send you the...
So EmeraldNova.com is good for stuff related to me, because that's always up to date. stuff related to other people is updated as the competitions happen. Right. Sega Extreme is where you want to go for a direct uploads for new resources.
Yeah.
And I would say that Shiro is going to be reporting on what gets released on Sega Extreme.
This is true.
Just want to, if you just want to grab a build and like check out what someone just posted last night at like 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. after some coffee, Sega Extreme is where you go.
Is it if I just finish up the thing real quick?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to finish it. So basically, I'm hearing people in the chat saying it's misspelled. That's actually the spelling on the original Midnight Club shirt. So...
People go onto the Shiro Discord in the general tab. I posted the actual Midnight Car special.
So sticker. It's supposed to be that right there. So it's supposed to be a joke thing. So it's supposed to be reference to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you would like to get one, there's a couple ways you could do it. You can win a competition, the tournament that we do for the Netlink. So Midnight Club will send you a shirt of that, like as trophy. And we'll practically send that to the past winners as well if you guys want a shirt as well. And we'll talk about that in the Netlink area. And also, I wanted to say that we're going to give this to the winners of the game competition as well. At least the ones for, I guess, each category, right? Is that sound right?
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, this was your idea. So I just made the shirt. Pat was like,
I was pitching an idea back and forth with Saturn Dave that I'm not going to go into, but it does involve clothing. So that's something that we should probably address offline, but that is something I want to maybe think about doing for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll talk about that later, but I'd like to do that if you guys want to do that. That'd be kind of cool. Yeah, if you do want to win the shirt, if you do the join our Netlink roster, I wish I had sent the link, but our site's down, so we can't do that right now. But it's a cool little shirt. If you won the tournament, we'll send you one of these shirts as a trophy thing, so it's going to be exclusive only to that, sort of like if you won the competition, you can get the shirt sort of thing. That's going to be kind of cool. But yeah, we have, like I said, if you want this one as well, you can just join our Netlink team. Just get a Netlink. We have a couple cool colors for it, navy and black for that. So I'll be getting two of these because I like these a lot. So I'm going to be getting these designs on my shirts. So yeah, there's a lot of cool options that we can get. And we also have, if you don't aren't part of the Netlink, you don't have a Netlink set up, you can just get this one on the website for the shirts on our Teespring.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of cool options we got. And then, of course, what was I going to say? About another shirt. So we just got a lot of cool things you guys could pick up. I wish we'd show more on our website, but the Netlink. So we're actually really close to getting that set up. The Netlinks that with the USB modem included with that. That's coming soon. Just need to get that sorted and we'll get that going.
How much it's going to be. We figured it out. There was gonna be $50 a pop, right?
Yeah.
Basically $50 shipped. Is what we decided.
No, I think we should $50 plus shipping, not shipped.
Oh, I'm sorry. $50 is the cost that includes our shipping, what we paid in shipping already, right?
Yeah, sorry. No, it's going to be $50 plus shipping.
I got you. Okay, so $50.
Yeah.
Each unit. So what you get with that is the brand new old stock Saturn X-Band, Japanese X-Band modem with all the software that comes in it, had Nifty and stuff. And then you get... the live modem. So not just one of the Zoom modems, but actually it's a live modem, which will give you the line voltage that you need because Knight hacked all those together for us. And then you get a patch in there as well.
Yeah, a little patch like this, the Sega logo right, the Sega Netlink logo in there as well.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, can I get the window? I'm trying to get the window to add this. It's not letting me move it over.
But yeah, we figured that we paid, we were out like $1,000, right?
Yeah, about $1,000 straight.
And we had 20 of them, right? So you figure $50.
Yeah, so it should be able to pay back what we paid for them. I'll be able to get it for the patrons. But yeah, this is what it's going to look like. It's going to be the Netlink spot. It's going to be a complete box thing. So it's going to have that plus more. I mean, that alone is like at least $80 to get it complete alone. This is going to come with everything. And the kit, the USB modem, and the patch. So,
hey, I just got a thing from Jetpack. Check the website.
Oh gosh, is it gonna redirect to something bad? Oh hell yeah, there we go.
Hell yeah, our website's back up. Thank you.
Oh, everyone press F5 real quick.
Please don't.
Crash the website. Yeah. So here's the...
Look, there's proof that Emerald actually did hammer out this article.
Yeah, we got some of the prizes down here.
I probably should have done this months and months ago, but then again, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have had the information on Harriman, so...
Mm-hmm. Pat, can you go to the community tab real quick and show folks what Saturn Memory... While it's still up, show folks what Saturn Memories did. Or actually, just go to the drop-down. I haven't added a... You go to the drop-down and then... Yeah, there you go. Saturn Resource Directory.
Yeah, the Resource Directory for Saturn Memories.
Saturn Memories. So you've got... What do you have at the top on the directory? You've got repositories, boot devices,
homebrew, emulators, hacks, patches, comfy websites.
Yeah. I love how everyone is just directly linking to Antime after all these years for the documentation.
Right.
Someone really needs to mirror all that document because that website really is ancient.
Yes, they do. So it doesn't. There needs to be some redundancy there. I'm not. I have a bunch of it backed up. Like, I've got it all downloaded on drives and stuff, and I'm sure Saturn Memories does too. But again, like, yeah, it needs to be hosted. But yeah, so shouts to Emerald for putting up that article. Shouts to Saturn Memories for committing to manage this, directory, I guess, which is only going to grow with time and get better.
Just FYI, the homebrew link is broken.
Ooh, what do you mean?
Click homebrew.
It doesn't take you down to the homebrew area. They're anchors. Okay.
Yeah, homebrew is giving me a 404 when I click on that.
Oh, well, I think I know why. I think... Are you logged in, Pat? Are you logged in?
No,
as
not
an
right
admin?
Now.
Okay, yeah, the homebrew is hidden. If Pat was logged in, he would be able to see it. But it's hidden for right now because it's still a work in progress.
Yeah.
So that's why. Yeah, that's on me. But when I get it up, it'll... Sorry, that sounds bad. When I get
the homebrew
page... Don't
worry, Dave, it's hard
page,
for us to get it up nowadays.
When I get the homebrew page up, it'll be worth looking at because it'll be a showcase of everything in one place. But yeah, so...
But yeah, in the meantime, though, for the Netlink stuff, you guys really want to be part of the Netlink? So the community... Oh, where the heck is that?
Oh, yeah, online play. Right there, you were there. Online play.
So if you guys want to get into there, you can look up how to connect your Netlink to there, how to set that up, get all sorted, what you need to buy, how to connect and dial.
The reason I call it online play and not Netlink is because not everybody's using a Netlink.
Yeah.
Some people are using X-Band. And actually, I think Joe wanted to call it, like, what did he want to call it? Netband?
So he calls it a Netband tunnel.
Netband. Yeah. Netband is what he's kind of calling it, which is like kind of... slamming both together.
Yeah, together.
Netlink and
and then if you want to join the once you get all that sorted out, though, you can join the Discord, and then you can join their Netlink League, and you'll be able to buy the shirt, the purple one, where is it? Right here, the pink one. You can fight for the coveted silver one in the competition, and you can be a full-fledged Netlink Meister.
Mm-hmm.
And probably in like a year or so, you're gonna have to update this page with the serial modem, which is gonna become, the serial, the USB, for the tunnel.
For the dibs, Conley asks, what's the decision on the first dibs for Patreon? I think we laid out last time for the Netlinks. It's pretty much gonna be whoever is the $3 and up right now that's currently on there that didn't get it, to just get it. And then whoever is like a $1 that really wants it but just can't support us and has been on there for a while. So if you guys want that, that's really two ways to get it. So yeah.
So just to clarify, folks who have been supporting us for a while, right? It's not open to people who just signed up, right?
Just signed up.
Because we did that. We kind of did this endeavor like months ago, maybe close to a year ago. And it's been kind of in the works since then. So yeah, if you have a track record of support, even if you haven't been, you're not at the highest tier, you're basically open to put your name in the hat. I guess, you know, I don't know how many people are going to be interested, but remember, it's not just a collectible. It's not just shelf candy. You have to sign up for the Netlink League or whatever we're calling it. And you have to, make yourself available for online play. Cause that's the point is we want to add 20 new users to the pool of tournament to our tournament pool, essentially, you know.
Yeah, no, we just really want people to join in, be able to you know, support the community, keep it alive. We have a nice tournament going on for Virtual On that I am in losers now because I didn't realize how strong one of the members are in that, so got my butt kicked.
I mean an online community is only as strong as the number of people that are you know, actively engaged in it. And I know that our current online community is actually pretty awesome. Like, you can at any time, you can say at Netlink roster and get somebody to go versus, but you know, adding 20 users will definitely make that even better, you know.
Yeah, so it's really cool. We got I said it's really cool that we're able to have that community going and, you know, bumping. So thank you very much, and everyone that's supporting it right now is amazing. I just can't thank you all enough. But yeah, I think the last Black Friday that we can actually talk about now, unless there's anything else we want to share about the game competition.
I saw DataDisc has a Black Friday thing. I wanted to mention that. I don't know if people have seen, they have a bunch of vinyl that's like B-stock vinyl on sale, so that's probably something to check out.
Yeah, let me go check that out.
I just bought a whole bunch of stuff from Stone Age Gamer. They got a kind of a Purple Monday or whatever they're calling it discount, but it should still be active. If you're looking for some cables or whatever,
I saw it on DataDisc's on their Twitter. They were advertising, so I don't know. But yeah,
I'm trying to see how you get to the B stock on here.
I know, right?
It's like, not very clear.
That's why. Yeah, I would try their Twitter.
Maybe there's a link to B stock. Let's use our B stock sale. Here's right now.
Don't you mean X, formerly known as Twitter?
40% to 60% off.
I'm not gonna entertain what you just said, Emerald. So, anyways,
the question is, what is their B stock? Like, what does that constitute for Shiro Mag? It's they say. Never mind.
Yeah, Corner Ding. So it says throughout the years we've been putting aside records that we found have cosmic damage, corner ring squeezes. We never ship these cuckers. We now amass quite a backlog, and now they're cleaning them out. This highly discounted. Here's the price discounts on them. That so Street Rage 14 pounds, that was 24. Outrun 12 pounds was 24. Sonic Frontiers was 33 and now it's 13 pounds. Street Rage 2 29 is 17.50. Fantasy Zone and just what all down the list. So Fantasy Zone, Street Rage 3, Sonic Mania, and Sonic Spinball. And there's quite a lot left, as you could see. Oh, well, Street Rage 2 is out. Street Rage 3, maybe? Yep, that's still there. Fantasy Zone's still in there. Sonic Mania's out. And Sonic Spinball's out. But there's still quite a bit left.
Yeah.
Nice little B-stock. So if you guys really want to buy some records and have been hesitant because they're expensive as hell, this is a good time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course...
There's a bunch of other killer deals, too, that I've been seeing on Twitter.
Yeah. If you guys want to post some deals, we can talk about that. But while you do that, I'm just going to talk about, finally, the Black Friday deal for Shiro, the magazine. 99 cents for B stock. We've been trying to wait for this. So this is going to be for today only.
It's going
to
be, no, wait, I have it through Cyber Monday.
Oh, Cyber Monday. Okay. The 27th.
Good,
okay.
Good through Monday while supplies last. So whatever comes first, after Monday, they'll go back up to $5 per issue.
Okay.
And then we'll clearance them out over the rest of the year. Plus I do have a box. So I do still have a box of bloopers. They're essentially, Pat and I are going to take them to the next convention. But you see the line of text at the top of the issue where it says the number one Saturn fanzine at the top of the magazine. At the very top of the magazine, yeah. There's like a pink bar and it says right the there. Number one at the bottom.
Oh, it's not showing on the thing.
Sorry, no, it's not showing. It's at the top. It's at the top. Anyway,
my screen's kind of up. It's like right here on the top.
Right. So I have a huge box full of basically perfect mags, aside from the fact that there's nothing printed there. Like, the print shop just completely screwed up on a layer in photo and and printed an entire run without text on the top. So Pat and I had the idea to take those to conventions and sign them, or like write special messages to folks and just give them away, or, you know, so that's what I plan to do, maybe at Game On.
Yeah. Are you definitely gonna go to that?
I definitely want to. You said it's in March.
Yeah.
I need to start looking at plane tickets, but I definitely want to.
Yeah,
for
we
sure.
have a free hotel room and free breakfast, so.
Yeah, that'll be rad.
Yeah, not to mention a lot of game time. And then,
I want to, and I definitely just don't need to go for as long as I did with PRGE. That was my biggest mistake with PRGE, is just I didn't need to be there on Thursday, and I didn't need to wait until like Monday afternoon to fly out, you know? Yeah. That just, it kind of, I overextended myself there. But if we had been like doing a Sega room or something, then totally, I probably would, you would need to get there on Thursday to do all the prep and stuff like that, and loading in and loading out and stuff. But yeah, because we didn't really have that much responsibility this last PRGE, I think it was just kind of a long stay. But yeah, for Game On, that's good reminder to myself that I need to like start looking at plane tickets now.
Sure. I might make the drive out there.
Would you?
Actually, a plane ticket might be cheaper, actually. Well, not cheaper, but faster.
It could. It actually could be cheaper, too, because the way gas is, you know?
No, I drive electric, but, like, it's still, like, 8 hours to get there.
Right. And that's, like, half your day gone, you know? So,
yeah.
It might be a better to just fly. And you're not that far.
No, I'm not. It should be cheap. I might show up if Let's I can crash it. on Traino's couch or something like that.
We can figure it out. We'll have the whole thing in here. Yeah. I was thinking maybe getting a table for it, maybe having like two PVMs and playing homebrew and translations, or I can have multiple. I have multiple PVMs, so
like we did for PRGE, but better, right? Because you have PVMs.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, no, I have like several PVMs, several CRT monitors that we can set up and make a little table, like a small table over there, and just like,
yeah, that would be rad.
Show them off, show them the magazines.
What are the chances of us getting a panel?
I can maybe make it happen.
Is there an application?
There's an application on the website. I can reach out to John about that, and we can get that sorted out.
Speaking of John, I just contacted PRGE for Audi, because we did a podcast with Audi Sorley, and that's going live to the public on Monday. But it patron supporters can already listen to it or check it out. But he was saying he really wants to do like a DF retro reunion thing with John Linneman at PRGE. So I sent them a message, and Gerald got back to me and said, yeah, that's definitely a possibility. So
let's make that happen.
Yeah. So like, I mean, that would be rad. Not to mention the two of them there. I would want to pull them aside and do like an interview.
We 100% do an interview there.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, Neo's had asked, would you guys ever hit the East Coast? I'd like to. I think for Dave, though, I think Dave said it might be a bit for him.
Yeah, I just, I might. We'll see. But I'm being super far away from the family. And like, if anything happens in emergency, it's a lot, I don't know, staying on the West Coast, it's a lot closer, be able to jump on the plane and fly back. I don't know.
This is like a 6-hour flight.
I have a little bit of anxiety about it. Yeah. And I don't like long flights. I was looking at a flight to New York that was like 9 hours because of a layover. So I don't know if it was a straight flight, maybe, but we'll see. I know Pat's more open to that kind of stuff. And are you like super serious about Gamescom?
Germany? Yeah, I do want to do Gamescom. I'm working on getting my passport.
Okay, cool.
Awesome. I do want to do Gamescom. I want to see how the funds are looking. Worst case, I can just do a halfsy thing where I just pay for it half of cheer, half of mine, because it's mostly the plane ticket's like $1,000, so I'm not really thrilled.
$1,000?
Yeah.
Is it really $1,000
from Arizona was it Kern? Yeah, it's about $1,000.
Even now, like even this far in advance.
Yeah, like I'll look it up right now. So we'll say August. It's gonna be at least.
I know they like what is it? Memphis and Zenos were like super wanting you to be there, and of course Audi is gonna be there.
Oh wow, that's weird. Okay, now it's 6:00. I'm looking at.
So, yeah, 600 sounds reasonable.
Yeah, I'm seeing 600. Like, yeah, 607. Right. Okay, that might be more doable. So yeah, I don't know why I was seeing 1,000 before. That was kind of insane.
Yeah,
maybe so, I was looking at Japan by mistake. I don't know.
So I've seen, if you pick the right time of year, I've seen tickets for Japan reach like the 500 level.
Yeah, it would be nice to have Shiro representation there at Gamescom, and like I said, John and Audi are going to be there, and Memphis and Zenos, and maybe you guys could like do a booth together or something. You remember
if,
what
if
you did?
If you guys managed to go out to Europe for that, I would be down to try to figure out how to make that happen for myself. Mm. I know, is that in UK?
That's in Germany.
Oh, yeah. It's in Germany.
Yeah. I mean, I speak German. I speak German, and the Memphis speaks, of course, and yeah. Memphis and Zeno. So I don't think we're going to have a lack of translators there for you if we need to get around the city.
Sorry. Well, I remember Pat did E3 a few years ago, and yeah. He kind of like went around with a mic and just like interviewed people on the show floor and stuff like that. That we need to do that more. You know, we need to definitely do that. I liked that. If you had like a, I don't know, like a Shure mic or something like that, and you're able to like plug it into your camera or something like that,
I could do that. That's an easy do.
Interview. Yeah, I think that was really cool. People like that. People like watching. You know. From the show floor, maybe not so much like the, you know, cell phone camera bouncing around kind of thing, but like having somebody there film you interviewing people, you know, and just kind of going around and asking questions and stuff like that. Even if it's in German, you know, we can get a transcript going on a video, and it would be awesome for like, because I know there's a lot of like German speaking Saturn fans.
Yeah, I'll try the interview. I'm probably good if I do an interview myself, but it might be harder for me to interview people in German, but I can try.
Is that right?
I mean, I'll be speaking all day, so maybe I might warm up a bit, but I can try.
Yeah.
Just recite like Rammstein lyrics at them until they pick it up.
I'm sure if I recite Brick Dich to them, they'll have a great time.
Just say Brick Dick.
Brick Dick. It's German for bend over.
Oh, okay. All right.
Fair. It's a song about exactly what you think it is.
Okay.
So I will say no more to get copyright straight.
I'm going to put James on the spot again. He is here in our chat room. He just has his mic muted. I'm hoping that he unmutes so that we can at least say hi to him.
Unmute your mic, dude.
Unmute your mic. Can he, though? That's the question. Oh, okay. He can.
Okay, there we go. Finally. We resurrected him.
I've been staring at his icon there.
Oh, here he is. He's talking.
No, hey, I just don't want to butt in and interrupt me. It's your show. I'm just sitting here listening away. It's fine.
Yeah, but what is our show but just like a...
It's really, a hangout, dude. We're chilling.
Really casual chat. No, I mean, I told James, he's like open invitation, you know, like you don't really need to...
Yeah,
you
can invite yourself. Not a formal thing we have to do.
Yeah. We play it. We always play it fast and loose with Shiro. But what's up with you? What time is it over there? I'm curious.
It is currently 20 past midnight. So.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, you're going to be getting some, what do you call it? Kip? In a little while.
Mate, that's the, getting some kip. That's
there
the...
you go. Oh, tell me about meeting Dan in real life. You guys did a video you put out, which is great. I just want to hear you kind of like talk about the highlights. You guys got to meet for the first time, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, like you guys know, we've done the channel for like the last year. It was like October last year we launched the channel. So like we'd only actually been speaking, like face-to-face on camera for a year, and then for like the 2.5 years before that we were like in
the Retropod
only.
Yeah, the Sega Guys Retropod.
So it was basically Dan's wife reached out to me in the middle of October and asked if I wanted to come down for his surprise 40th birthday party, which was being held about a week and a half before his actual birthday. But that was kind of down in London, which was just undoable in the time frame. But he mentioned that they had booked the arcade club in Bury, which is just outside Greater Manchester. And we happen to have family on my wife's side who stay in Prestwich, which is like 15 minutes from Bury. So it just all lined up. Like perfectly, like she got to visit family, see her sister, see her nephews, and so I got to.
Did Dan know you were coming? Did he know you were, or was it a surprise?
No, it was basically like myself and Dan's wife, like how we managed to keep it from him, because like obviously now, you know, it's like I can tell him the whole story behind it, but it's like we were sitting like recording podcasts and he's like dropping these little kind of messages saying, you know, oh, on this weekend I'm doing this, you know, I'm going to the arcade club the following week, and I'm sitting there just chuckling away at myself going, I know you are, and I'm going to be there too, but you don't know it. So
that's funny.
That's cool. It was great. But the reaction on the video that was captured by his wife was just his face is an absolute picture.
Yeah,
he had no idea. So as I say, we both got there. In terms of my wife, we were driving from one side into Bury, and Dan and his wife and kids were coming from another side. So it turned out that we both arrived at the arcade at the exact same time. So, like, my wife had to hide round the corner in the car. Like, she's like, I'll park round the corner. And then Dan's wife's messaging me to say, right, we're on the top floor because it's like three levels. Apparently it's Europe's biggest arcade, apparently.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I got the nod to go in. Then my wife and daughter went in ahead of me to kind of get eyes on where Dan was sitting and things, and then tell me to come in. And I say, I just walked up and he didn't see me. He was playing the Simpsons arcade game with these three kids. And I just walked up and went, excuse me, mate, are you that guy for YouTube?
That's funny.
And he's like, oh my God. And then that was it. It was great. And it's, I know a couple of people on like Twitter had said it can always be quite kind of weird whenever you meet up with somebody, you know, like you guys as well at PRGE, you met for the first time as well. You've been speaking on camera for God
knows
how long.
I think I met Dave the first time by flipping him off while I'm walking in the room.
So but yeah, it was just like it was literally the exact same as it was whenever we sit down and record. Like the camaraderie was the same, the banter was the same. So it was great. We spent like 11 and a half hours in this arcade just playing as much as we could. Sega Rally, Outrun 2 SP, Link Up Cabinet, racing each other.
That's awesome.
Initial D, Rave Racer, Ridge
Racer.
You have
to do an Initial D. That's required, dude.
Oh, mate.
I love the fact that your arcades still have a lot of good Sega stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's like
they're not kind of common. Like, as I say, in like Glasgow where I'm in Scotland, it's like we have a couple of small arcades. We've got like Super Barrio and we've got Arcade, which is R-Cade, like R type.
Right.
But they're really small. Like this place is just insane. The sheer volume, like on the top floor, as you head out towards the exit, Dan noticed that there's a little room off to the right hand side, and it's quite narrow but really long, and it's just Astro City cabinets all along.
Oh my gosh!
Send me to the UK now.
The
screens on those Astro Cities are gorgeous.
Really?
Absolutely
CRTs?
Amazing. Yeah. Oh, they're just beautiful.
Oh, nice.
We played Punisher, Marvel vs. Capcom. They had like Samurai Showdown, King of Fighters, Radiant Silver Gun, Ikaruga. You know, it just. But you're talking. This room must have been about what? Maybe 25 machines deep each side, and then along the back wall as well. It was just like.
So what is
all
it? Is it like pay for a card and get in, or is it like pay per play? How does it work?
Yeah, so it's literally you pay £17 or £17 to get in. Mm-hmm. It's £17 for an adult, and there's no time limit. So if you want to turn up at 11 o'clock in the morning for the opening and pay £17, and you want to stay till 11 o'clock at night, which is what we did, we were the last ones out.
My God! Okay.
But we played Terminator 2 Judgment Day, the arcade game, which is also out on Genesis. It's the Menacer game.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I'm booking a trip to the UK. No,
honestly, we'd love to do a UK con.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying, man. If you guys come over for like OLL or something, like Dan and I will be there. So I've spoke to you before, Dave, about this. If we could get like a kind of Sega guys and Shiro kind of like joint panel or joint appearance, you know, if you guys ever made it over, that would be awesome.
I'd be hella down. Yeah. I really want to visit the UK, and I'd like to.
There are a ton of people, yeah, from the Saturn junkyard that I want to see. Yep. Sega guys, of course, like, yeah, there's a bunch of
Dreamcast
people and a bunch of Shiro listeners and stuff that are from the UK that I would love to. I'd just like to meet everybody up at a bar and just, or a pub.
Yeah, meet M, and just get Techno pissed. Hammer. Yeah.
Talking about Saturn, you know, it was crazy. Like when I met up Joe, you know, and he was like, here we are sitting at a bar talking about Dreamcast. How odd is that?
That'd be pretty sick, actually.
That doesn't come up in real life very often, you know. But yeah, no, it was a blast. It's always fun to meet people in real life that you've been talking to for a long time. But yeah, so yeah, no, I my wife is actually going to Canada, and I'm kind of jealous. In the next week, she's going to Canada and with her friends, and so I got the kids to myself for a few days.
have them all play Saturn.
They're all going to be playing Saturn and eating poorly. No, I'm just kidding. I can cook a little bit. I can cook. I'll make sure they get their.
Just make sure they play the vegetables. Saturn stuff. That's
all. Required. They love that stick that you got, Pat.
the twin stick.
The twin sticks. Yeah, they've been asking me every day. Can I play the robot game? can I play with that twin stick? They don't know what to call it, so they're just like, you know, and they absolutely love it, and they're taking turns, and my 5-year-old Junie is just blasting away on the campaign, you know, and I'm just like, I can't believe it, she's actually doing it, you know.
I'm so happy they're enjoying that, though.
They absolutely love it, like it, yeah. Nothing they've been at, and today I was like, no, not today, because I'm in the garage cleaning and putting up Christmas lights and stuff. But they've been bugging me every day, like, can we play with the twin stick? So that's fun. Yeah, I have a little bit of video of them, you know, going against each other, and one of them had the D-pad and one of them had the twin stick. But
I think that was really cute. Sure.
It's great passing that on, though, because that's what I say. Like in 1996, I used to go to Booth's Arcade in Glasgow. I would play Sega Rally in the arcade. I would come home. I would play it on the Saturn with the arcade racer. Mm-hmm. And then here I am in 2023. I went to this arcade with my daughter, who's 5 years old. And we played Sega Rally on the arcade. I was sitting there, she was on my knee, and I was working the pedals, and she was using the steering wheel. And then we came home, and she was wanting to play it, and she does like to play Sega Rally, but she asked to play it with the steering wheel. So like to think, like, you know, 27 years on, you know, that to actually be able to relive your kind of teenage years, but with your own kids doing this on the same games, it's brilliant.
Definitely. I mean, good games are just good games. Like my son Jesse, who's 10, he's in Ganon's Tower in Link to the Past. He's kind of struggling with it, you know. He's because it's not exactly easy, but he's making his way through the tower, and he's almost ready to finish that game. And it's funny to think about it, because I was like, I was playing that game in 1992. You know, as a kid, and having to, you know, talk to friends on the playground and stuff to figure out, you know, what do you do next and stuff like that. And so he doesn't have the playground so much as he's just asking me constantly, Dad, what do I do next? You know, and I'm like, you can figure it out. It's puzzles are meant to be solved. You know, you don't need to. But he did it. You know, he's made his way through every single dungeon. He's finally on Ganon's Tower. So. That's cool. And then in his bedroom, he's got the Genesis Mini, and he's plugging away at what, Monster World 4, and a bunch of other Genesis games. So, yeah, like good games are just good games. It doesn't matter how old they are.
As long as they're fun, that's what's important.
Yeah. Not everything stands the test of time. I mean, there's a lot of...
Oh, sorry. No,
go ahead, Emerald. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I'm waiting for Emerald Jr. to develop motor skills. So I can indoctrinate him onto the Genesis.
Oh, you will. It'll happen.
Yeah, because if I don't reveal to him that tablets exist, then he'll have to learn how to use fingers.
Yeah.
Because that's like a skill that's been lost. Like, people do not learn motor skills from video games anymore. Like, there's an entire generation of surgeons that are good surgeons because of the freaking PlayStation or whatever. And that's not gonna be true in 20 years.
I believe it. I mean, like, when he's on the virtual, when he's on the, what do we call it now, the Switch, the SNES games, the online Switch Online, when he does that, he just abuses the hell out of the rewind feature, you know. So he'll get hit, he'll rewind, and I'm like, you know, that's not how you play a game, you know. But then when it comes to like Kirby in the Forgotten Land, he can't do that, so he dies a lot, and I'm just like, well, there you go, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to fail so that you learn from your mistakes and you get better, you know. You don't just rewind a couple frames and do it. But I'm like, the way he plays on like the Switch Online is kind of how I wish life was, where you had like a little button where you could just go back 10 seconds every time you do something stupid and you could just rewind and do it over again.
I definitely do that the other day. I had a kind of an awkward encounter with my neighbor where I kind of accidentally scared them because I was trying to inquire about their cat and lived around the corner, and because of the way I walked up, it looked like I walked out of their bushes to talk to them. So,
oh my god,
that was Homer Simpson.
You're like that.
Yeah, I didn't even mean to, and I scared the hell out of them, so I felt really bad. I was like, oh, god, I'm so sorry. So, I really wish I had like a 20 second button to not do that, but
right.
You know, hopefully, I'll see him again and apologize for that. That was kind of funny though.
Yeah, but yeah, so he can't do that with the Genesis Mini. He can drop save states all he wants, but he can't rewind, you know. That's just a little broken. Or a
little OP.
Yeah, it's a little OP. What's the other term for that? Just
janky?
Cheating?
Yeah, well, sure, cheating. Yeah, nerfed.
I mean, if it's Ninja Gaiden, it's one thing, but like, you know.
Ninja Gaiden, yeah, that's the only exception for save states.
Right?
Yeah. You should be able to play Mega Man 2. You should be able to play Sonic the Hedgehog without having to, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, absolutely. And if you die, you know, you die and you get better. Now, there are some games where I would say, okay, where they're really brutal and they make you go all the way from the start, but it's almost impossible to beat. So there are certain games where I would say that would be probably okay. But yeah, like when you're playing Punch-Out, just get good, you know.
Skill issue
is what it is. Yeah.
Right.
I'm just imagining Seto Kaiba like yelling at a 4-year-old girl. It's like, you're a third rate duelist with a fourth rate debt, get better.
it's like, I just started playing this game.
Yeah.
just Dave yelling at his kids. No.
So but yeah, what else is going on? What anybody else want to? What are we coming up on time here?
We're kind of over time.
We're way past time. It's been. Yeah,
I do,
man.
Kind of have to make some pizzas. I have the dough setting out, so
sounds good.
Honestly, I feel like making a pizza now. Now I'm gonna get pizza.
Well, now I want to get pizza. Now I'm at the bandwagon. It.
Yeah.
All I got is chips and hard pretzels right now and a cookie. I want.
There's
some
a couple different
pizza. How do they do pizza where you're at? Do they have good pizza there?
I think the best pizzas that we get over here tend to come from like Indian takeaways, believe it or not. They do like mean pizzas. We like put like thing is like if you go to like Italy and stuff like that, we used to go there quite a lot on holiday, and they go to Southern Italy, you just get like ridiculously good pizzas for like so cheap. But over here it's like totally dominated by either like Indian takeaways, chip shops. You have the odd pizzeria place that tries to replicate what you get like abroad or in the States. But it tends to be like Domino's and Pizza Hut overpriced rubbish.
I was gonna say appealing. when I went to Edinburgh, like the Indian food was the best thing like had there, and they had this, I don't even know what it is, but it was like a pink curry at this one place, and it was so unbelievably good. I don't even know
like,
what kind of curry
pizzas,
is that? It's yeah.
The pizzas here, it's like my choice of pizza if I'm getting something out of the local Indian takeaway is a chicken tikka pizza with garlic, which
is just immense. Yeah.
It's like, but you just like chicken tikka on a pizza.
I was gonna ask if they do anything weird with it, like when you go to Japan, you order a pizza, you do not get what a pizza should be. I don't know if the Indians
well, you get
the
stereotypes over here, like apparently like in Scotland, that like people think that we deep fry Mars bars. You know, it's like
we do that here though. We do that here, except we do it with Oreos and butter.
Aye, it's like there's a whole stereotype. It's like, but you occasionally come across like a TikTok page of some like random Scottish chip shop where they put like Maltesers or Bounties or God knows what chocolate bar and batter and then fling it in the fryer and you're like, that's just a heart attack waiting to happen. What are you doing?
You're doing, mate. You're going to kill me, mate.
I can see how an Indian place, like if they're actually coming in from India and not just like Indian heritage in the UK, where they say, hey, we got naan here. We got some tomato paste based sauce.
Why not make a pizza? And we have,
you know, and how, you know how much naan bread I've had in my life? Naan.
Naan?
Naan is good, but it's not pizza bread. But I can imagine someone doing a pizza lunchable out of some Indian ingredients and making it an okay
approximation. Oh, you know what else was really good in the UK was the kebabs. Sandwiches, right? You know? Oh my God. Like
you know you've made it and you've got like your favorite Indian takeaway whenever they refer to you as boss. See if you walk in on a Friday night and they go, how you doing, boss?
How you doing, boss?
Like, perfect. Yep. King naan, garlic and coriander, salad, no sauce. Thanks very much, mate. That's my kebab right there. It's like
the same rule applies to a hot dog stand.
So
once they know you, they know you.
James,
if they greet you with boss, you know they know what they're doing.
I was gonna say before we leave, I wanna mention, just repeating what Emerald already said, is that James is a new judge, right, on the panel this year of the competition. And I was gonna ask you, James, like, what do you think about how this year is sizing up, like with all the stuff we've got coming down the pike?
I know the translation work, as usual, is absolutely stellar. It seems that year on year, we just get more and more stuff. Like, I think Dave, you and I have spoken previously about just the sheer plethora of JRPG stuff that's came over. You know, the games that apparently no one wanted to bring West, and yet
lots of tactics.
Popular stuff. I've started Vandal Hearts literally this week, and that's because I heard you and Nick playing it or talking about it at BRG, and I was like, I have to, it's so good. In terms of new games, we done a video on the channel, I know you guys did as well, but I was really, really impressed with Cold Case.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they've managed to, people talk about it being like a Silent Hill.
Sure.
But it takes a lot of leanings from the medium on PC, and because when you walk in the bathroom and you look in the mirror and you've got the dual realities, oh, it's so good. And then you pick up the evidence photograph and then you sort of go into the photo to continue. Oh, it's just, I really hope that gets expanded on, because even just the theme music is amazing as well. Mm-hmm. Just that kind of nice, that guitar riff that's on the title screen that plays, and whenever you get to the city at the end, it's
definitely a vibe.
It's superb.
It's gonna be neat, interesting to see what kind of things slip in at the last minute. That's the thing. I feel like there's people that are working on stuff that have been kept silent, you know. Because we always get shocked every year, like by a few entries where we're just like, okay, wow, you know. So that's always going to be.
I'm glad that you brought up Cold Case. I like to point out Cold Case and then a few other games like that, where I keep trying to tell people. I see lots of people trying to reinvent the wheel with regards to 3D pipelines, how they're loading stuff up, trying to make their own engines like from scratch, et cetera, et cetera. And like replacing a lot of like basic SGL functions, but like not enough of us are taking the tools that are already mature enough to make a game and actually making a game with it. And I like when stuff like Cold Case comes out, because all those tools, I don't know that he's doing, that the maker of Cold Case is doing anything special or different compared to what was previously available in the last few years. Jay Beretta? Okay. Jay Beretta? Oh, I actually know who that is. Okay.
Wasn't Cold Case Jay Beretta?
Yeah, Jay Beretta was Cold Case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So it's like, you know, taking the existing tools, not trying to reinvent the wheel, not trying to make an entirely new tool set by yourself, because there's way too much independent by yourself reinventing the wheel going on in Saturn Homebrew right now. And actually just like taking what already exists and making a complete experience out of it. And people like Jay Beretta and Ervil Sopa, I like to point out, and Ponut is actually building some of the standardized tools, are able to like make experiences that are not just, hey, I'm working on this tool and here is like a 5-minute demo.
Right.
Here's an actual game. Mm-hmm. And I want to see more of that. And I would like to see a little bit more cooperation in the future. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but hopefully next year and the years afterwards. I want to see teams form, like actual teams, like actual multiple skill sets putting together.
Because burnout happens a lot when it's like one person having to like work on something and get. And you're absolutely right. I've said this before. I want to echo what Emerald's saying, is that I think that there should be special treatment or special consideration for folks who make a concerted effort to put out a completed game. That's kind of why I rated Bridget Bishop so highly, because I felt like it was a very like crystallized vision, you know, from start to finish. It was it had a start, middle, and end, you know, and it was, even if it was short, it was well put together. And I'm hoping that the Saturn homebrew scene matures and grows in that way, where they start to develop fully realized games, you know, complete games, instead of just really, really brilliant tech demos. But start using those tools to make complete games,
and,
you know.
And that's kind of the issue, is that the Saturn homebrew scene is largely dominated by the Sega Extreme community, and the Sega Extreme community is largely a group of technical professionals, people that do computer related work for a living, and spend a lot of their time and a lot of their interest is in technical accomplishments. And the technical accomplishments tend not to translate very well to the general audience. Like, if you know a lot about how Saturn homebrew works and how the Saturn hardware works, you look at some of the stuff that VBT does, like the Garfield lasagna demo.
And it's impressive because you know why.
You know why it's impressive. It just doesn't look impressive because he's stressing the machine out. And you're just thinking, it's not going to score well. You're gonna get bottom place, and not because you didn't do work. It's because you're doing work that the player is unable to appreciate, because you're focusing a lot on the technicals, but you're not focusing on a gameplay experience.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't mean to cut you guys off, but we should probably check out.
Let's all go get pizza.
We should read off our
patrons.
Reach out
to patrons, and I'll just put on the list for Black Friday for the TurboGrafx. We'll talk about this more next week as well, a little bit more in depth. So far, I just want to thank our top patrons: Murray Crows, Brock the Archivist, Emerald Nova, Johannes Fetz, Michael Sabah, Nate Lawrence, Sega Steve, Shadow Mask, all caps, Blue Moon 95, Cerulean, Chris Piper, Daniel Fredrickson, David Zaney, Derek Pasquarella, aka A-Team, Fat Trunk Friend Otaku, Jim Clasher Rank, Justin Momfus, Normal Guy, Nutrageous, Robert Ramsey, Rowan Dinked, Stoneman, Tanuki Trev, and Young Money Swee. If you guys want to be able to shout out at the $10 and up level, you could back us a Patreon. We could shout you out on the Shiro Show. We also, if you want to give us more of a, like, we already shouted our shirts enough, but if you just want to follow and like us as well on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all the other platforms we have, they're great to support us as well if you can't back us financially. And yeah, I think there's, like I said, we have the awesome shirts that we showed off on the show that you could buy. Awesome shirt that we showed off. And then, of course, we joined the Netlink. You can get the special one right here. So definitely think about getting to Netlink, sign up for the Netlink team.
There's also a new Panzer Dragoon shirt on there as well.
Oh yeah, let me get. That's another one that I forgot to mention. I am sorry about that.
You might have to scroll to the bottom and hit more, show more. You'll eventually see it. Oh, there's one.
The new Panzer Dragoon shirt. We put on the store as well. So. This is also, I guess, Black Friday as well. Did you put this up recently as well? Was this a Black Friday shirt as well?
Yeah, I mean, everything's priced $2 over cost. So basically, if you buy this, you're giving Shiro $2. And you're repping
ours. And you can split it up in four separate payments of $6.50.
Yeah, you could do that if you
really want to.
That's so funny.
You really need to put a shirt on a payment plan.
You can put your coffee on a payment plan while you're at it. You can put your Starbucks on a payment plan.
Hey, anyway, can I get a shirt as service, though?
A shirt as service.
Yeah, I'll take it off if you stop paying it.
Yeah, but that's it. There's a Sega Rally one that people already saw last week, I think, too. So, yeah.
But yeah, no. I think that's about it. Is there anything else that we forgot? Are we good?
Everyone go read the article that I wrote last minute, but click on all the links, because the links actually go to some interesting places.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're trying to get into Saturn Homebrew, I hope that the links I provided, if you want to like jump into the competition, should be a helpful start to get there. But also there's some interesting historical stuff. Mm-hmm. Some old games that probably hardly anyone on Shiro has actually seen before got linked on there from the older competitions.
Right.
Go give Rock and B's website a look.
Absolutely. Yeah. I just want to say that in honor of belated Thanksgiving, that I'm super, super thankful for you, Emerald, being a supporter of Shiro for as long as you have been, and also just for kickstarting the homebrew community the way you have. Super thankful for you, bro. Thankful for you, Pat, of course. Thankful for this community being so awesome. I think it really is the lifeblood. It's what makes this, you know, Saturn exciting these days, is the community and what they're doing. They really are doing what Sega don't.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm or thankful Sega for didn't, the, at least. I'm super thankful for the Sega guys, you know, carrying the Saturn torch on their side as well. And just, you know, I the list goes on. It's just a really long list, but basically all my Shiro bros, Nick, Peter, Ben, thankful for you guys. Pat, I had a wonderful time at PRGE, and I'm just looking forward to more fun times.
Same. I'm thankful for all y'all guys. I'm thankful for you, Dave. I'm excited to see you soon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If we're all going around doing this, I want to be thankful for XL2 and Ponut for like holding my hand consistently for years at a time.
Oh,
despite because really, I'm terrible at the Saturn. I'm just really good at coding generic stuff. And if it wasn't for like the massive amounts of legwork and help I get from those two guys specifically, along with some other guys in a more general sense, I would hardly have any games out.
Right. And that's just a metaphor, I guess, for the larger thing that is our community. I mean, like Knight of Dragon, you know, so many people, individuals in this community step up and help when they can, you know, or if it's like Double Dime with the tournaments and stuff like that. My daughter wants me to take her on a bike ride, and I totally want to. So,
thank you guys for watching. And remember, you must play Sega Saturn.
You must play Sega Saturn.